Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick, Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. Jeff, how are you, man?
Good, man. How are y'all doing tonight? Hey, the whole crew in there.
Hey, Jeff, that song was just for you because I could see you getting your freak on. I mean,
Jeff, he was setting you up for that. I'm telling you.
I'm visualizing Jeff Duncan listening to this song, getting his swag on.
So. Bobby, the dance floor isn't big enough for me when my hips get going. Let me tell you something.
Jeff, we're going to get to some football, obviously Saints, but what was your reaction to the news of John Gruden stepping down as the Las Vegas Raiders head coach?
Well, I think it was fairly obvious that that was the conclusion it was going to come to. And look, it's a sad ending. I mean, John Gruden's a great coach and has accomplished a lot at the NFL. But as soon as I saw that story come out last night, I knew it was a matter of time until we saw his resignation.
Now, Jeff, do you think it's over? It's the snowball effect. What occurs with maybe? With the Washington football team organization. The one thing, Jeff, I don't know if you agree with this, but I was telling Mike and Christian that Roger Goodell is so powerful, you don't need to be attacking Roger Goodell because I think the owners are protective of him, especially the stability he brings to the leader, and they're making money.
He's
Come on.
The Secret Service agent for the owners. He's the guy.
There's no question. Mike's right. I mean, look, I think you're going to have a lot of very powerful media outlets that are going to be digging around for those emails. I don't think this thing's going to end anytime soon. Now, whether they can get them or not, this isn't like a public records request.
Right.
It's a private enterprise, and that's the problem. But I guarantee you, somebody's got access to them, and people are going to be digging for it.
Jeff, going to the Saints now, I think all of us sort of figured this would be a reload year. You understand that it was kind of all chips in for a couple years. The quarterback situation, but because of how they've drafted and the young talent on this team, I think the biggest question mark of the offseason, I think it'll play out during the year, is what's going to happen at quarterback? Because I think the season will tell you one way or another with Jameis Winston, and you need to add another receiver. You need to add another top receiver. But if you go across the board, this team has a lot of elements in place in that reload year. And Jeff Ireland and Mickey and Sean, I think have done a really good job in a kind of offseason of turmoil because of so much cap ramifications. I think next year will be a much more confined part of it here where the quarterback wide receiver position is going to get tremendous attention because – you see some of the young talent that they've been able to acquire and develop.
Yeah, Mike, great point. I know y'all, don't y'all have Jeff Ireland coming on?
Yes.
Coming on tonight?
We have him on tonight with Mike Hoss.
With Hoss.
Yeah, and I just think we can't underestimate his presence and his contributions to the organization, his ability to find these undrafted free agents that can come in. At one point, guys, in the game on Sunday, they had Calvin Throckmorton, James Hurst, and Will Clapp in their starting offensive line, and they were functioning just fine with three backups out there, three guys that most Saints fans didn't know existed, 5-6 years ago. That is a testament to Jeff Ireland and his scouting staff. He's got a great staff there, and I think that decision back in 2015 when Mickey and Sean elected to overhaul the scouting department. I think since then, this organization's gone in a whole other direction, and they're able to sustain success even with all the offseason losses, losing your franchise quarterback, and Sean Payton's ability and his staff's ability to coach and develop these players. Let's not fool ourselves. I mean, guys like Ryan Nielsen know how to develop these young players, and I just think it's been remarkable how they've been able to patchwork this team together through these first five games, despite the losses from injuries and suspensions, and still, forge out a 3-2 record. I think anybody would take that considering what they didn't have available so far.
Now, Jeff, I thought this was truly remarkable. I was part of pro football as a player 15 years on what happened in the Hail Mary play to end the first half. Let me tell you, we practiced the Hail Mary, but not paying attention to detail like Sean Payton and the offensive staff. sidewalk, no walk, I don't know, neutral ground, whatever you call it. No, I'm telling you, we've done that play before, but how they executed that, you might say, oh, that was luck. But it was planned luck. I mean, to me, when I saw what William Jackson III, a high acquisition free agent from the Bengals, he comes to Washington, when he made this statement, you know, we're just trying to make a play. We wasn't expecting them to go for the Hail Mary right there. A regular football team. Well, hell yeah, the Who Dat Nation, Saints and Sean Payton, we ain't regular. We ain't no regular team. He says a regular football team would try to get a couple of yards and to try and kick a field goal, but they called the right play at the right time. That, to me, is amazing, and why I think we very seldom going to get out-coach Sean Payton and the staff just by a play like a Hail Mary, how the Saints have paid so much attention to detail compared to what other teams would do. Because I never was that detailed on any team. And I'm talking about USFL, NFL, talk about a handful of teams. Never that approach like Sean Payton and the Saints.
Bobby, that's a great point, and I think you're spot on. I mean, I think just the whole way Sean managed that last 2 minutes, right? I mean, he gave his team a chance. 9 times out of 10, it's not going to work, but just the fact that they didn't let the clock run out, that they gave themselves just an opportunity, you never know. It goes back to that attention to detail. We're going to play this thing out to the very end, and it might not work, but we're going to give ourselves a chance. And they did. They executed it perfectly, managed the clock perfectly. And, you know, I know we've talked on the program before about my book, Payton and Breeze. That was the thing when I worked on that book. That was what stood out to me the most in the reporting was their attention to detail, how they grind away. They don't take anything for granted. There's no shortcuts to success. And I saw it with how hard they prepare every week for each game.
And you know, Jeff, along those lines, I'm going to bring up another play. When you look at it, perfect timing, perfect call. The missed block punt by Carl Granderson. Come on, dude. We got this called right. How did you miss the ball? Roughing the punter, automatic first down. But I bring that up because Sean Payton said this. None of that can happen without consistent effort. So the effort was there. He said, now, as a specialties player, are you willing to have that type of effort 14 times with no result, and then on that 15th try, you receive a result? It can only happen if you're truly buying in, trusting the technique, and what's being coached. What? That's like a prophet. That is telling you what you need to do. It might not happen every game. It might take a month. It might take 3 games. But right there, perfect call. Come on, Carl Granderson. Everything is lined up for you. Jeff, I just thought, look what's occurred this year as far as when you look at the punt block. Number 50, Andrew Dowell.
No.
Look, that came out of nowhere, but it's planned. It is plan and opportunity, and that's coaching. We very seldom going to get out, Coach Jeff. You know, there's special teams. That's why I don't know what we're going to do this season. But I like our chances. That's not 100%, but offense, defense, special teams. It's unbelievable what we do.
I think he does a great job also, guys, of really getting everybody to buy into the team concept. And one of the things that stands out, this is completely overlooked, I think, by most people, but – like a veteran guy like Ty Montgomery, who's been in this league, he's actually played big roles. Here he's out there playing special teams as a gunner and contributing, and he's been in the league a while. And you all know, I mean, that's hard to get veteran players to buy in, to play that role. It's a very unsung role, but they get guys in their program and get them to buy into the culture of we. I asked Sean yesterday about the interception that Jameis Winston threw. And instead of throwing his offensive lineman under the bus who stepped on Jameis's foot, or instead of bringing up Jameis Winston on the throw, what did Sean say? He said, look, we would like to get a better throw. You know, we'd like to have the right cleats on. He says we, a culture of we, instead of trying to out one of his players. That goes a long way in the locker room with your players.
Jeff, just kind of piggybacking on Payton and in the locker room, speaking of, you've been in there several times. When I was in there regularly on the beat, talking to players, one of the things that they always pointed out about Peyton was his ability to communicate to them, this is how this game is going to be played and won. If it's not played this way, it's not going to happen. And it almost assuredly, he was right about how he would tell them this is what's going to be the factor in the game. And it wasn't just turnovers. It was just tiny nuances. Have you had players tell you that before?
Oh, yeah, many times, Christian. And players have told me that he'll draw up a play and he'll say this is how it's going to play out in the game. And sure enough, it's exactly what happens. And, of course, all that does is breed confidence and buy-in from the players because they know he's got a coach that can scheme it up. I mean, there's a reason. I don't think we've seen Sean call plays better than he has this year. Just the best evidence is their red zone efficiency right now. They're leading the
number
league.
Number one.
I mean, he's drawing up some plays. I remember some of the interviews we do for the Peyton and Breeze book, he would say, and he was kidding, of course. He loves Drew Breeze. We all know that. But his little snarkiness, he would say, Connor, he's talking about his son, Connor Peyton, Connor could have thrown that touchdown pass. And what he meant by that was
it was set up.
Yeah, he schemed it up so good. And I thought of that when we saw Marquez Callaway score that touchdown. And I think it was the fourth quarter where they ran the sort of the dual pick play. And
right.
He went. I mean, it was wide open. Anyone could have thrown that touchdown. And that's not, to criticize Jameis Winston's performance.
Right.
But that's the X's and O's wizardry of Sean Payton, and it's paying off with this incredible red zone efficiency.
Well, that's why Jameis Winston wanted to come to the Saints, yeah. And he knows, like, God, a great opportunity. I'm with Sean Payton.
If it can't work here.
And all of a sudden, I'm with Coach Carmichael. I'm with Sean Payton, Drew Brees. Well, what a great opportunity, considering I'm trying to live up expectations, considering where I was drafted and all that. I like Jameis' approach. He's humble, and I think that Sean could get on his ass, and he's not offended. It ain't a black-white thing. It ain't no thing. It's like, how about quarterback and coach, just coaching? Tough coaching.
Well, look,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Look, Sean Payton will tell you, he coaches his quarterbacks hard. He came from the Bill Parcells school. Ask Phil Sims about what it was like to play quarterback for Bill
Jeff
Parcells.
Hostetler.
Yeah, Phil Sims, Jeff Hostetler, Bill Parcells would be all over him all the time.
Yes, and that's what we saw on Sunday. And I agree with you, Bobby. I like everything I hear from Jameis Winston, how he's responding to this hard coaching. And that's not easy. And I think the he's going to get out of this year. And, Mike, you're right. We have no idea if he's the long-term solution. I don't think anybody knows right now if he's going to be back next year or not. But what he's going to get out of this year is mental toughness. I guarantee you that because Sean Payton coaches those quarterbacks as hard as any, probably harder than any other position on the team.
Jeff, one of the things, and I'm going to steal a line from Richie Pettibone. He told me this, and it sort of got me thinking a little bit. And he was like, man, you know, I watch Sean, and he reminds me so much of Joe Gibbs. And he said part of that was Joe doesn't get a lot of credit. He won 3 Super Bowls. He won with 3 different quarterbacks, with Theismann, with Rippon, Doug Williams.
Doug Williams, yep.
And he says, you know, how many guys can put that on a resume? Because, he said, listen, it's not many that can say, I won the biggest game and had the great season, and I did it with 3 different quarterbacks. But in today's age, it got me thinking of the NBA started this, where players sort of control, to a certain extent, an organization. And we've seen certain NBA players, I don't like that coach, you out of here. You know, hire somebody else. In the NFL now, you're giving these massive contracts to the quarterback position. And how that, I think, will transform this game like it's never been transformed before. If you've got a great young quarterback and the control and the ability to work together between the head coach and the quarterback, and what you wrote about Breeze and Peyton working together. And it worked for a long time with Brady and Belichick until it couldn't work anymore. I think, in my opinion, that is going to be the next step for the NFL of almost a dual-type running of an organization by a quarterback, head coach, organization. You hear Aaron Rodgers say it. They're not asking me anything in Green Bay, but I know one thing where he's going to be at in 2022. I bet they will.
Well, and you know, the Chargers are listening to Justin Herbert. How about the
if
Bills?
If they're not, they
and,
will.
Yeah, going forward. Jeff, comment on that, and I have a quarterback question for you also. Comment on what Mike said.
Well, no, you're right, Mike, and I even wrote earlier this year that what happened in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers would never have happened in New Orleans.
Nope.
Because Sean Payton, Mickey
yes.
Loomis are such great communicators. They would never let it get to where it
right.
got to that point. And they're very inclusive, especially when Breeze was there. And once Breeze earned those stripes, they would bring him in. And I've written about it. We all know that story where they were on the brink of drafting Patrick Mahomes, and
yep.
they brought Sean Payton had to have that conversation with him in the war room, took him outside in the hallway and said, look, we might be selecting a quarterback here, but they didn't, you know, dance around that.
Communication.
He's willing to have those tough questions. Dan Campbell told me that for the book. He said, there's not a lot of coaches in this league will have those conversations with a big defensive tackle, you know, intimidating
right.
guy. He said, Sean's not afraid. He's not afraid to tell this guy, hey, it might be your career might be over. You might want to look at something else. He's not afraid to have those tough conversations. He got that from Bill Parcells.
And Breeze even told the story where he was iffy on the 2017 season. He, you know, there was times where
you might
have to go
in a different direction.
No, he said he contemplated retirement 17, 18, 19. Hard.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And if they would have taken Patrick Mahomes, I think it would have played out very similar to how it played out in Kansas City. The Saints would have seen Patrick Mahomes in practice that year, making those throws, just like Andy Reid and the front office with the Chiefs saw it, and they would have had to make a decision to move on from Drew Brees. And history would have been changed, guys. Drew would not probably
yep.
have broken the records that he did, those historical records in New Orleans. It would have changed NFL history.
Now, Jeff, this could be a long-winded question, but you used to that. It might be even two of them.
From him?
No, come on.
If it was a sharp one, he'd be sharp.
But this just caught my attention before I talk about the next matchup against the Seahawks. Is that too far-fetched? I don't know what's going to happen from a legal standpoint in the NFL with the Texans. I think Deshaun Watson would be unbelievable with Sean Payton. Okay, I mean, people might say, like, oh, what do you, we got Jameis Winston. Okay, you can have Jameis Winston, but Deshaun Watson, to me, is on a different level. You know, you have those handful of quarterbacks, different level. I don't know what's going to happen with the Texans, but you hear the rumors about the Dolphins, the Eagles, the Saints and all. Okay, before I ask the next question, I want you to comment. Are you a Deshaun Watson fan or what? Are you letting it play itself out? What is your take on that? Is that you say, like, well, no way he's coming to New Orleans?
Well, it's obviously extremely complicated, right?
Right.
Can he play? He made a believer out of me in 2019 in that opening game
yep.
where the Saints barely
just barely
won that game where it took Drew Brees' miracle in the two-minute drill. Deshaun Watson is an incredible talent. But obviously, it's a complicated situation, and I think a call like that would be above even Sean Payton's head. I think Gail Benson, ownership, and management would have to make that decision collectively would be willing to do that. Yeah, I think it would go that high because of his background.
Jeff, if you could, I know last week you had the story about the succession plan of the New Orleans Saints. Could you highlight that, go through a couple of moments or a couple of things that are in the succession plan that fans are going to want to care about?
And Jeff, fans want to know, is Jeff Duncan going to be dead and the Saints still in New Orleans? I mean, are you that confident they could be here long term? Are you that
yeah,
confident they'll be here yeah, long term?
Bobby, I tried
Bobby,
to
you
write
could
that.
Have put it a little better.
Yeah, thanks, Bobby. Just
very
fill
morbid.
Me off here.
Very morbid.
Still in my young 50s. Come on.
No, that's what I'm saying. So, for the next 30, 40 years.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, though. I think people have been hardwired to think the Saints are always on the brink of leaving, and they're rightfully so, right? I mean, all the losses we've had in New Orleans with the Buccaneers and the ABA leaving and the Jazz and flirting with other markets. But, guys, I mean, this – franchises here for the long term. The deal they've got, and we highlighted it in that series that Christian mentioned, the deal puts the Saints revenue-wise in the top 10 to 12 in the league. They're the only small market team that is able to compete off the field revenue with the Dallas Cowboys, the LA Ramses of the world. That's incredible. It's unprecedented. The Buffalo Bills would love to have a deal like that. Jacksonville would love to have a deal like that. They don't. And that's why the Saints, we see them all the time this offseason. Look, Mickey Loomis and Kai Harley are great at manipulating the cap, but they have the flexibility now to do it. How many times do you see them move money into a signing bonus? They've got the cash flow to do that because they have the revenue streams. They didn't have that. I remember Randy Mueller telling me sometimes in free agency back when he was the GM, they couldn't sign guys or they had to stagger the signing bonus money over periods of time because they didn't have the cash flow. That's not the case now. This team is flush with cash, and it allows them to be very aggressive with how they sign players in free agency, how they're able to manipulate the cap and move money around, and that's all because of this deal. Why? And so what I brought up to people before, why would anybody want to leave? This team is the most popular team in the league, or one of the top three teams in the league. We lead the entire country in television ratings. It's football crazy in this part of the country. And if you took New Orleans and removed them from the NFL, you would not have a market with an NFL team from Atlanta to Houston and Dallas.
That's not good.
Think about that. That's the SEC West.
There's no more
football passionate part of this country than the Gulf Coast.
Jeff, the Gulf Coast, Gulf South Saints. I mean, it's like the New Orleans Saints. It's all the same when you look at that. Jacksonville, they already have two teams in Florida. They might go to England. Who knows what's going to come out with that. But, Jeff, now with the upcoming opponent, and you're looking at the Seattle Seahawks after the bye, and, you know, Mike D'Antoni and I was talking about that. I think I've talked to you about this also. It does matter when you play a team. And the timing of that, and you look at Russell Wilson. He's never missed a game. I mean, look, he's sidelined now for several weeks to repair the injuries in his right middle finger, a ruptured a tendon. He also has that fractured dislocation of the joint, the top of his middle finger. And people might say, oh, it was just his finger. No, he has to throw the ball. It's not his left hand. What are you talking about? No, it does make a difference. Now, with Geno Smith, I mean, he looked great in the fourth quarter against the Rams. He led Seattle on two scoring drives. Then he threw an interception. 2 minutes remaining. But look, he last started a game in 2017 with the Giants on the day Eli Manning streak on consecutive starts. Remember that came to an end? He started one game in 2016 with the Jets. But the last time he saw any sort of extended action was 2014, his second season in the league. I remember when he came to Tiger Stadium in West Virginia. I mean, I don't know. He maybe has some ability, but like a journeyman. Hell no, we ain't losing to Seattle with Geno Smith. I'd be extremely disappointed if we can't take care of business on Monday Night Football at Seattle. Now, I know Sean don't want to hear none of that, but listen, it's a whole a big difference when you're going with Russell Wilson or Geno Smith. Come on.
No, you're right. When you play a team is critical. I remember Jeff Fisher telling me that years ago when I first started covering the league. He said the three most important factors in an NFL season are injuries, breaks, and scheduling on when you play a team. And if you get Seattle in game one, or you get them like the Saints are getting, there's a different Seattle team you're facing. So suddenly that game looks much more winnable. They're going to have to deal with the crowd noise. But I think that stretch now looming, guys, and I'm looking way down the road, but Thanksgiving, November 25th, you got the Buffalo Bills followed by the Dallas Cowboys in the Superdome. Those two teams might be the two best teams in the league right now.
Amen. You're right. You're right. I hate to say that. The Cowgirls and the Bills, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And Jeff, just think about this. What are you going to dress up? What are you going to dress up on Halloween afternoon when they play the Buccaneers? They're coming back to the Dome. What are you going to go as? As Chucky, maybe? Or what? You're going to get a lot of attention if you did that.
No, I mean, I'm thinking about going to Christian Garrick. I think it would be a good outfit.
Yes, I mean, yes. But you might have to shave your head, though, if you go by Christian. So.
I don't know. That's always one of my favorite games of the season when that happens, when the Saints get a game on Halloween and you get Saints fans. There's nobody dresses up more.
Hey, man.
Nobody's more festive.
We love costumes down here.
Oh, no. You dress up. You go to the game. Hopefully the Saints win. Then you go trick-or-treating.
Jeff, we got
to
run, man.
It'd be a lot more tricking than treating.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Jeff Duncan. Great job, as always. Columnist for the TimesPicayundola.com. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.